Friends, as we have seen many, many times in the words of the Scripture, that the Bible is filled with impossible, hopeless cases of individuals, hopeless situations and circumstances that appear in the Word of God that seem to be, to all that we see, impossible to deal with. There is no answer. There is no hope. There seems to be no solution. We could read in the previous chapter of the storms. We could read about the needs. We could read about the deaths, about the sicknesses, and many other situations that to the human mind are impossible. Yet they are handled with ease by the power of a sovereign God, by the power of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And this section of Mark's Gospel is filled with several of those impossible situations. Well, I mentioned the storm. We saw last time the man filled with demons. And then there is a little dead girl that we have read of, the daughter of Jairus. The Lord Jesus Christ steps into every single one of these unimaginable situations and proves that He is more than capable of handling whatever happens. And all of these demonstrate something. They are pictures of human depravity and the need of mankind in all kinds of ways. Man is in great need. In some situations we can look and see man is under a great control. A control of evil things. Sin controls. Like those the demons of the man. And then we see, for example, in this case of this woman, she had the issue of blood. And then she had many hindrances in her way. She had to press through all these individuals. Risks that had to be taken. And there are hindrances in a person's life. And there is a barrier between us and God. There's a great separation. We could go on. But these passages are found in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel means good news. They do not lead to bad news. They do not lead us to despair. It is found in this Gospel because the Lord wants to show us there is hope in the worst of cases. In the most hopeless cases and situations, there is hope. Not in man, not in anything that people can do for themselves, but in the Lord. Nothing is hopeless with Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is on His way to heal the daughter of a man. This man Jairus had come and had begged him to come and heal his daughter. And in this situation, we will see it, God willing, another time, that the Lord Jesus Christ is surrounded by a great crowd of people. They throng Him and jostle against Him from every side. He's pressed in. And in the crowd that day, there was a poor, weak, timid, dying woman who, her blood was running out of her, who reached out. And she touches the Lord Jesus Christ, the hem of His garment. She touches simply His clothes. And when she touched the Lord, her life was instantly, completely, and permanently transformed. She was a different woman physically, and then soon afterwards, she was a different woman spiritually. It's a picture of the hopeless human race in need of life transformation. Mankind is in need of a radical change. They are separated from God. In ourselves, we are separated from God. We do not know God. And here is this woman who comes to know God. Do we want to know God? Do we want to receive this transformation? Well, we must focus then upon the facts that are in this account. So let us concentrate. There are a number of things I want to highlight here as the facts develop before our eyes. We find, first of all, her suffering. Her suffering. Look at verse 24 to 26. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. What was wrong with this woman? We are told that she had suffered from an issue of blood. This literally means that she was hemorrhaging. She had internal bleeding from some place of her body. And blood was flowing, issuing from her. And whatever cause of this internal hemorrhage, this internal bleeding was, she was a very sick woman. We see in this her anguish. Look at verse 26. She suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. It is a constant flow of blood that would cause her unbelievable suffering. If we just have a little bit of blood flowing from us, if we cut ourselves, it is very unpleasant. And if this continues and continues, as some people suffer from a kind of illness that their blood does not clot, and it can be very, very dangerous for them, and they have to take medication immediately. But it causes much suffering and anguish. Let's think about that. Let's think about what? And put ourselves in her shoe. What kind of a life did she have? Of course, there was the physical aspect to things. From the constant blood loss, this poor woman would have been weak. She would have been anemic. She would have been pale. She would have no energy at all. The least of efforts would have worn her out. And some of us, we have experienced these things. Some of us, we have been worn out because of either loss of blood or some great sickness, some illness. There is that word that is used twice, plague, that we read of her condition. It's like a plague. In verse 29, for example, we read that she was healed of that plague. And that word is translated in other places. It comes from the word whip. And it's translated in other parts of the New Testament as whip. Her disease was like a scourge, you see. Constantly beating her down. Constantly, day by day, she was beat down. She was suffering greatly. So there was this physical thing. But also the medical suffering. Some of you have experienced medical suffering as well. You see, she had tried all the remedies of the doctors of her day. All the physicians of her day had tried this, had tried that. And we are told that she suffered. She suffered under their care. There you see, and verse 26, and had suffered many things. It's not that she was told, well, could you take this tablet? And could you try this? It wasn't just a couple of things with a couple of side effects. But many, many things. You see, the Jewish law book, the book of Talmud, with which the rabbis and the theologians had put together, called the Talmud, it had given medical description and medical remedies for such things, because her condition, we will see that it was also it would defile her ceremonially and religiously, and so they had devised various laws, how to fix it, how to provide medical help. And in this book, we find all kinds of superstitious instructions, what a person should do to obtain full health. And it is, as a whole, it's nonsense. And I will not bore you with them, but it is making of all kinds of potions and herbal remedies and so on. But in one place, for this kind of remedy, I'll just give you a quote of it. Is that the woman is to carry an ear of corn taken from the dung of a white donkey. And then she's going to go and use this in her food. And it was a superstitious idea. And she had to suffer all of these things. It's a whole list of rules of what she could do. And if this does not work, then she has to do this. And if that does not work, then she has to do that. So there is that suffering, part of her great anguish. But also, there was the social aspects to it. Just imagine. Put yourself in her shoes. She was almost certainly not married. Because through simple physical contact, she would have defiled her husband. And for that matter, anybody that she came into physical contact with. If she had ever been married, her husband would have been probably divorced her. She could not work around others because of the danger of the same thing, defilement. And this reduced her life to a life of begging scraps of food from a distance. All her dealings was from a distance. So what we read here is a dramatic change in her life. She comes through the press. When was the last time she ever touched somebody else? When was the last time she had come and forced herself through a crowd? So it was a big thing. What happened? But think about the social suffering that she had suffered. Her condition left her on the fringe of society. In the eyes of those around her, she was no better than a leper. And imagine the emotional suffering that she suffered. For 12 years. Have you had a situation like this for 12 years? No remedy, no help, no hope. You've spent everything. All the time being rejected. All the time being rejected from people. Living a lonely life. Nobody to talk to. Nobody to care. Nobody who would look upon her with any kind of kindness, mercy. She's isolated. She's desperate. How she was crushed. A crushed woman. And think about it. Her religion did not help her either. Under the law, she was unclean. She was defiled. This poor woman. She was considered to be totally unclean because of her issue of blood. Anything or anyone that she touched was also considered unclean. And as a result, she could not mingle with other people. And she could not even go to worship God. She would not be allowed to go into the compartment where the woman would be worshiping the Lord in the temple, in the woman's court of the temple. Again, for the same reason. She was unclean. And everybody knew it. Financially, she suffered. We already have read. For she had given everything, spent all, without any help or hope. Her bank had run dry. The physicians had not helped. She's penniless. She's destitute. With no husband or children to look after her. What a sad case. After years of pain, worthless doctors, useless remedies, shattered dreams, she has reached the place where she knows She's living under a death sentence. That's what it was. She will not get better. Sometimes we may feel like that. And maybe we experience things, illnesses, that we know there is no hope. We will not get better. But praise God, if you're a Christian, there's an answer to that. You know where you're going. You know your future. You know your life is in the Lord's hand. But with her, she was unconverted. She had no idea. She didn't know anything. She had not been told about this. She will not get better. She thinks that she will die from this disease. Her life, which is in her blood, is literally draining out of her body, little by little, day by day. This nameless suffering woman pictures every person who does not know the salvation of Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a picture of people whose lives are draining out. They're getting closer to death. And they know it. They're fearful of it. They would do anything, but not the right thing. They would go to any doctor, any philosopher, any person, and various false religions of the world, but they will not help. They will not provide the right things. They see all of these bodies of people in front. They know something. Yes, there is a God, but they don't know how to get to this God. They don't know how to reach this God. And you could imagine this woman looking. All these people. And you could think, all these people, we could give them names. Unbelief. False religion. We could give them names, a variety of sins that can hinder a soul. And all of these things are before the lost children of Adam. You see, the lost are defiled by a blood disease. They inherit this disease from Adam. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 12, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sin. This is a condition that we all by nature, a child that is born into the world, they experience that. It's a plague. Plague of the human race since they were born. It's a condition that sinners cannot make better. You cannot make it better. You cannot change what we are ourselves. No, people try to. And people try to even put it out of their mind. No, I'm not ill. I'm not dying. And people spend their entire lives searching for meaning and searching for help for their condition. But instead of getting better, they only get worse. Their heart gets harder. And they become more deeply rooted in their sins. All the efforts of self-improvement and religion do not improve their condition. I always smile when I go into second-hand bookshops here, Red Cross shop, and they have a large section on self-help. Do it yourself for your soul. And you have so many books. So many books. And above it is rubbish theological section. Well, sometimes you can find nuggets and precious things. But again, people, they've used it. They have read these things. But it's done them no good. Done them no good. So it goes out. If you have good books, you keep it. If you have books that have helped you and helped you in your work with God and helped you in your life, you would keep it. You won't throw it out. You would also give it to somebody else and say, don't read this book. Study this book. But here is the condition of mankind. But look at her plan. That's how she was suffering, but look at her plan in verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This is how she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. This hopeless, broken woman devised a plan to meet the Lord. A reason? She had heard about the Lord Jesus. Somebody had told her. Maybe she had heard people talking from a distance of Christ. Maybe she had heard he had healed a leper. Maybe she had heard about this wild man across the sea. And he had delivered a legion of demons from this man. And the man was going around in the right mind and clothed. She had heard something from someone. Somewhere. Had heard. Maybe not speaking to her directly because nobody would approach her. But she has heard people talking. Do you see the power, my friends, of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see the power of the testimony of God's people? And how it can have a transforming effect upon somebody else who is listening to us. Isn't that what happened to John Bunyan? Has he heard women talking about the Lord? What a powerful thing is a testimony of God's people. And then she was resolved to go. In verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's my aim. I'm going to touch his clothes. If I only can do that, I will be whole. She had realized that the Lord Jesus was her only hope. There was nobody else that she had heard that did such things as Jesus Christ. And she believed with all her heart that if she could just get to him, she would be healed. And nothing would distract her. She was determined to get to the Lord Jesus Christ by approaching him in that crowd. And as she elbows her way through the people. You see, she was causing a great disturbance and she was at a great risk to herself because she was causing ceremonial defilements all around her. Everyone that she touched was ceremonially unclean. It's like a little child. They have had their dessert and nobody wants to touch that boy. And they're all covered with chocolate or something like that and nobody would go and don't touch me and we would try to quickly clean that child up because we are worried they will touch something. They would make people dirty. But that's how she was, spiritually speaking. But she was determined. She had realized who she was. She was dying. She would have been subject to public humiliation and ridicule if she was found out. And you know, this woman who was so weak, you see, she had to make great effort. She was losing blood. She already was in a weak condition, weak state. And you yourself might have experienced it. That when you are so ill, you can hardly drag yourself out of the bed. You can hardly walk. You can hardly eat. And swallow, and how weak we can become, how frail our bodies may be. And you think, she's using her last strength, she's crawling. You see, she touches the hem of his garment, which is below the Christ's ankle. And she's crawling, you see. She's not walking on her feet, she's going on the four, hands and knees. Desperate, you see. But she had heard about Jesus Christ. She is determined. Men and women, boys and girls who really sense their loss and guilt of sin against God would be made desperate to push through all the barriers, all the things that we have seen as excuses, as faults, as criticisms. A person who's come to really realize the desperate condition of his or her nature would do all, would push through all things to get to Jesus Christ because that person has heard Jesus Christ is the only hope. And that person is determined now Nothing will hinder. Nothing will distract. That person needs to come. Get to Jesus Christ. Have you got to that stage? Have we got to Jesus Christ out of desperation? He is the only source of hope. Because the Son of God, He is the only answer to our sins. He died for our sins on the cross so that whosoever would believe in Him would have their sins forgiven, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Why would a person who hears about Jesus Christ and the gospel live a defeated life under the power of sin for another day? I do not know. But then look at her salvation. How she is wonderfully, powerfully converted. Look at verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. The power of Jesus Christ had healed her. When she was near enough, she just reached out and just touched, touching the hem of Christ's garment. And in that very instant, she received what none of the doctors or their costly and painful remedies could give her. She was healed, completely healed. Instantly, she felt the change in her body. Instantly, the blood stopped flowing from her. She knew she was different now. It was such a personal thing. It was such a personal thing. Other people didn't know it, but she knew it. She knew it. Power of Jesus Christ had reached her. And Jesus Christ, he says in verse 30, he asked the question, "Who touched my clothes?" Of course, there were a dozen of people touching him and bumping into him. That day, around her, he was surrounded by a crowd of people. And it's what the disciples said, very disrespectfully, it seems. He says, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" What a foolish thing to say. That's what they were meaning. See, they didn't know. Sometimes we say things so foolishly at times, and we do not know the whole situation. And this is what happened to these disciples. You see, other people had touched the Lord Jesus Christ, but her touch was different. Her touch was a touch of faith. She had touched, and her touch was accompanied by faith. And only that touch is a saving touch. Jesus could have let her walk away with physical healing, but He called out to her because He wanted to give her more than physical healing. He wanted to move her beyond her superstitious faith, if I could say that. He wanted her to be truly saved. He wanted to save and remedy her soul. And when the Lord Jesus spoke to this woman, we noticed that she fell before Him in fear. She trembled. She was fearful. This was the very reason she came silently from behind Him to touch Him. This was why she did not come to the Lord Jesus openly. She was afraid that she would be rejected. She probably expected Jesus Christ to lash out at her for touching Him. She thought He would treat her like everyone else would have treated her. Just by touching Him, she would have defiled Him until the sundown. But she didn't have to fear that. Lots of people have fears. What if? What if I come to the Lord? Will He receive me? Will He take me, a miserable man, a miserable woman, a person who is defiled with sin and whose life background has been so horrible? People have these fears, but do not fear, my friends. Look at this woman. How she was fearful. But she didn't have to have that fear. You should come reverently, humbly to God. But don't fear that He will not receive you. Oh, my friends, the Lord Jesus is so different to other men. He's pure, He's perfect. He knows what is in man. And here He was. And the Lord Jesus, we read there, as this woman falls down before Him, tells Him everything, all the truth. She pours out her heart before the Lord, tells Him all of the things that had gone on, all the truth of her life, confessing all of these things. The Lord then says to her, daughter, you see, she'd already been accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Daughter, you're part of my family now. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She had already received healing. But there is a different plague, my friends, that Christ is talking about. What a wonderful thing, friends. Will you think about this? Will you pray about this? Have I experienced such things? Have I gone to the Lord Jesus like this? Oh, there is more to forgiveness of sins, my friend. She had come thinking, all I want is to have this loss of blood to be healed. This disease healed. But she got more than what she came for that day. You know, all those who come to Christ may only come for one thing, but they get more. They come later on and they see more and more the wonderful things that they have received in Jesus Christ. Not only forgiveness of sins, not only removal of their guilt, but they now become the children of God. You see what the Christian has? They become children of God. They have a home in heaven. They are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. They have a great inheritance. They have new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ answers their prayers. All that we ask in His name. We are free from the power of sin to control, to dominate us. We are no longer God's enemies. We come to realize that. We are reconciled to Him. We are fully and forever forgiven. And all of these things are permanent. Permanent. So different to the solutions of this world. Earthly solutions are temporary. They pass away. My friends, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what this woman experienced. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. A sinner coming to know the Savior, leaving in peace, leaving blessed. May each one of us also experience such things. Let us pray.